The scripture this morning is taken from the letter to the Philippians. It's near the end of the letter, and Paul has written to this group of people to encourage them to continue to be positive. And he writes in Philippians 4, "Finally, my sisters and brothers, your thoughts should be wholly directed to all that is true, all that deserves respect, all that is honest, pure, decent, admirable, virtuous, or worthy of praise. Live according to what you have learned and accepted, what you have heard me say and seen me do. Then will the God of peace be with you." May we seek to live into this word from our Holy Scripture. Well, it's February. I imagine you've noticed. February is one of those months that is kind of a glass half empty month for a lot of people. Well, it's the shortest month of the year. Often February can seem like the longest, as many of us wait for winter to be over, for spring to show its hopeful signs, and for the daylight to stretch into the evenings. I, for one, am not really a fan of long winter nights. In fact, I now have an app on my watch face that tells me when sunrise and sunset are, and I keep track. As of today, since January 1st, we've gained 93 minutes of sunlight. It makes my heart sing when the daylight hours get longer. We who live in northern climes tend to become a little depressed, some of us a lot depressed in winter, and our dispositions can become a little bit irritable or cranky or even negative. The good thing about this is we can do something about it. Throughout this past month, we've been talking about the theme of abundance, which will conclude next week as we move into the season of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which is February 17th. When Jesus said that he came that we might have abundant lives, I believe that he meant that we were wired somehow to know that life could include joy and hope, love and fulfillment. Jesus himself lived in some of the most troubled times in history, yet he said that we were meant to live abundantly, and that's what he had come to offer us. We are meant to be part of an abundant and compassionate world, to see enoughness in the world and ensure that everyone will have what they need to live out the grace and goodness God built into the universe. Today, I want to explore another important facet of what we need to live abundantly. That is our capacity to see what is good and beautiful in the world, to let go of the negative that bombards us daily and threatens to totally crush us with its oppressive ubiquity. This week, as I was poking around, I did a little research on something called negativity bias. It turns out that human beings have a strong propensity toward focusing on the negative, often discounting the positive. So here's an example. When we're in our building for Sunday worship, people often would line up after the service to get a hug, and they usually would say something encouraging about the sermon or the service or the music. But once in a while, not that often, someone would criticize something I had said, which is totally fine. I need feedback of all kinds to be better. I don't always get it right, nor am I striving to please people. But guess which comments I focus on far longer than I need to, and far longer than I ever would focus on the positive feedback I had received. And I know I'm not alone. You have to admit it. I think that most of us do that kind of thing. We ruminate on anything negative personally directed toward us. A few years ago, I was introduced to the word perseverate. Have you ever heard the word? I hadn't. It means to repeat or prolong an action, thought, or utterance after the stimulus that prompted it has ceased. After what caused us to think that way is long gone, we continue to think about it, to stew over it, in some cases long after. People will chew on negative thoughts or feedback until they are literally so stressed they are consequently ill, if not physically, then emotionally. It turns out there's a lot of scientific research on negativity bias. Just try typing it into your search engine and look at what comes up on your computer. The remarkable thing about it is that pretty much every human being has a negativity bias. All humans are wired to focus more intently on the negative than the positive. Wikipedia defines negativity bias as the notion that, even when of equal intensity, things of a more negative nature, like unpleasant thoughts or emotions, negative social interactions, or harmful and traumatic events, have a greater effect on one's psychological state and processes than neutral or positive things. In other words, something very positive will generally have less of an impact on a person's behavior and thinking than something equally emotional but negative. Seems we have a tendency right from birth to focus on the negative. And at one time in our evolutionary history, it was necessary. You had to have a heightened awareness of anything in the environment that might harm you. That's not so much the case now. Yet we have carried this propensity forward into the present day, and it has become damaging to our well-being and to society at large. It is, in fact, the primary reason why bad news sells better than good news. Because we tend to pay more attention to negative events than positive ones. We also learn more from negative outcomes and experiences. This was very interesting to me, that negative consequences motivate us more than positive incentives. And we make decisions based on negative information more than on positive data. Also, research shows that negative news is perceived to be more factual than positive news. I think this really says a lot about the state of affairs today and the proliferation of conspiracy theories. We just tend to buy into the negative more easily and think that it is more reflective of reality. Negativity bias even affects our politics. In a 2014 article in Behavioral and Brain Sciences, two fellows named Hibbing and Alford found that conservatives may have stronger psychological responses to negative information than liberals. Some evidence, for example, has found that people who consider themselves politically conservative are more likely to rate ambiguous or neutral stimuli as threatening. So why am I talking about negativity bias in relation to abundant life? Well, it seems that we have to make a real effort to overcome our negativity bias in order to focus on the good, to believe that good news really is good news. It seems that the Apostle Paul had it right when he wrote to the Philippians. We can focus on the good, change our outlook, our energy, and our lives by focusing on what is positive and by limiting the negative in our lives. He wrote, "Your thoughts should be wholly directed to all that is true, all that deserves respect, all that is honest, pure, decent, admirable, virtuous, or worthy of praise." The great mid-20th century preacher and writer Norman Vincent Peale said it this way: "The way to happiness? Keep your heart free from hate, your mind from worry. Live simply, expect little, give much. Scatter sunshine. Forget self, think of others." Then he said, "Try this for a week and you will be surprised." It's not so easy. If only thinking and doing positive things were a matter of will. Overcoming our negativity is not easy. It takes intention and effort. We have to get up in the morning and decide we want to be positive. We have to choose to fill our lives with positive things and limit the intake of negative every single day. I came across an interview of social psychologist Roy Baumeister and New York Times writer John Tierney. Last year, they even released a book called The Power of Bad: How the Negativity Effect Rules Us and How We Can Rule It. The book covers the science behind the negativity bias and gives practical tips for working around its effects. Really good interview. if you want to look it up. Mr. Baumeister noted that the mind evolved to overreact to negative things. So to compensate for that, it's good to stop and consider the positive side. In general, the indicators of human well-being are all moving up. Life is getting better and is really good in many ways, despite the constant predictions of doom. So just to be accurate in how you see the world, you need to put a bit of a correction on the negativity bias. He wrote this, remember, before this time of the pandemic. But he says most of the research shows that bad things have about 2, 3, or 4 times as much impact as good things. If you want to have a good relationship, go for at least a 5-to-1 ratio of good things to bad things. Then he told a story about somebody who comes to him and says, "Oh, I did this thing to annoy my spouse. I'd better do something nice to make up for it." He said, "But one nice thing doesn't make up for one bad thing. You've got to do 4 things, good things, just to get back to even." We need a lot of positivity in the world as a corrective to all the negativity we are subject to daily. In fact, we need 4 times at least the positive to counteract the negative. And this is another thing we need to think about. We need to be cautious when spreading anything negative, because it will have an effect on those around us. Abundant life requires a positive outlook on life, the ability to see the good and to recognize that life is a beautiful gift. An added benefit to this will be a sense of gratitude, which is really another aspect of abundance. A grateful heart is a necessary condition for experiencing abundance. So be aware of what you're letting into your brain, as the negative tends to stick and affect our outlook on life. Earlier this year, I deliberately cut down on watching too much TV because I was seeing its effect on my mental state. And lo and behold, things changed almost immediately. We have a choice as to what we pay attention to, what we focus on. And we also have a choice as to what comes out of our mouths, our hearts. Our negativity will affect others. What we let in will be what comes out of our hearts, our minds, and our mouths. So do we want to live abundantly, stay healthy and well and productive? If we do, we need to stay positive, and that takes work. Paul says, look for what's good, what's beautiful and wholesome in the world, and share it with others. Because it's far more effective than we think for changing the world. The kingdom of God as we imagine it is a place of peace, beauty, love, and joy. If we want to see that become a reality for God's will to be done on earth, then we will participate in its becoming. May it be so.